Certainly a pleasure to be back before you this evening. This morning we talked about the price of atonement that we can read about in Leviticus chapter 1. We broke that down, reading about the price of atonement, what it was for the Israelites, what it is for us today. Jesus, who came and was that sacrifice for us so that we could find forgiveness. This evening what we're going to talk about rather briefly is we're going to talk more about forgiveness. There are several things that are a key part in any Christian's life. Love for the Word of God, caring about truth, caring for one another, being part of the family of God. And a key part of being a Christian in the New Testament church, of course, is forgiveness as well. And like I said, that's what we're going to talk about for a minute this evening. So what is forgiveness? What does forgiveness do? What is the purpose that it serves? One dictionary defines forgiveness in the following way. Forgiveness is the wiping out of an offense from memory. Another definition that I found interesting was this. Forgiveness is the release on the part of the creditor or offended party of any expectation that a debt will be repaid or that an offender will receive punishment for an offense. The removal does not condone the behavior or suggest approval for the offense. I found that last bit especially interesting, the idea that the fact that I'm forgiving you of something doesn't mean that I approve of what you've done. Doesn't mean that what you've done is okay. It simply means that I'm wiping that from my memory, that I'm releasing you of that burden of any debt that you owe to me. Because that's exactly what God does for us. He can forgive us of something, but it doesn't mean that the thing we did was okay. It means that he's gracious enough and merciful enough to relieve us of what we face because of that sin if we do what he has commanded us to do. Forgiveness is something that we all desire in one form or another in some point of our life. We all appreciate second chances when we do something wrong. We all appreciate forgiveness when we do something that we regret. I know for me, I think it was early last year, right before all the COVID craziness hit. I'm from Hyco, Texas. We were there with my friends. We had just gone camping the week before. Long story short, we were playing ping pong. We were playing doubles. He was on my team. We spun at the wrong time, and I clocked him in the face, like really hard with my elbow. Elbowed him right in the face. I felt really bad about that. If he hadn't, and he knew I felt bad about it, so he forgave me of doing that to him. I know that in my case, if he had withheld that forgiveness from me, if he had held that against me, if he had continued to hold anger against me because of that, it would have caused me to feel very poorly. I already felt bad about it, although in hindsight, I think it might be a little bit funny. But I think if he had held that against me, if he hadn't forgiven me of that, I would have felt terrible. In the same way, when we do something, if we sin against God, it's that same feeling of regret that we should feel in our hearts. Now we're going to talk about forgiveness this evening, specifically God's forgiveness that he offers us. Brethren, our God is a forgiving God. We need God's forgiveness, and we're going to ask ourselves or see how we can access that forgiveness. Our God is a forgiving God. We need God's forgiveness, and we'll see how we can access that forgiveness. First, I want to look at the first thing I mentioned. God is forgiving. God has given a promise of forgiveness to his people. He did this both under the old law and under the new law. Under the Old Testament, God offered forgiveness for those who sought it. We can read of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, and in the book of Isaiah in the 55th chapter, verses 6 through 7. We also noticed this morning in Leviticus chapter 1, that the person bringing the sacrifice had to seek forgiveness. It's not something that could be done. It's not something that could be done for them. Under the New Testament, God offers forgiveness for us as well. I'm going to turn to the book of Jeremiah, in the 31st chapter, if you'd like to turn there with me, to read Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Forgiveness under the New Testament. He starts out, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. God is speaking here, through the writer, of the new covenant that his people would one day have access to. He says, under this covenant, I will forgive their iniquity. We know from scriptures such as Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13, that we live under that new covenant today. We also notice that in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, when we read about Jesus came to be our sacrifice, that he did away with, or he fulfilled the old law and brought the new law. We live under the new covenant today. It is under our covenant, or under the covenant that he has with us today, that he promised he will forgive our iniquities. We know that God has offered a promise of forgiveness under the old law. He's offered a promise of forgiveness under the new law. God also has a nature of forgiveness. To think about this idea, I'm going to turn to the book of 1 John, starting in chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, if you'd like to take note of that. But 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, talking about God's nature of forgiveness. Starting in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to isolate the phrase, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The rest of those verses we'll reference back to in a few minutes. No matter what, we can trust God to uphold his promise to forgive us. Over and over in the Bible, we see examples of God's forgiveness. We can think of David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. David sinned against the Lord. He sinned against Uriah and committed adultery with Bathsheba. The prophet Nathan came to him, confronted him about this sin, said, look, you've done this. God knows you've done this. What are you going to do about it? And David repents, and he is forgiven of that sin. We looked this morning about the atonements that the Levites faced. God told them, if you do this burnt offering in this way, the way I've instructed you, if you do everything that I've commanded you, you can find atonement for your sin. In the book of Acts, in chapter 2, the killers of Jesus himself, they ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realize the sin that they've committed. We're going to talk about that again in a little bit. But they were offered forgiveness, even those that killed the Son of God himself. God has a nature of forgiveness. God promised us forgiveness under the old law. He has promised us the opportunity for forgiveness under the new law as well. God has offered us this forgiveness because we need God's forgiveness. Second thing we're going to talk about this evening, we all need God's forgiveness. God created man perfect and without sin. He gave man everything he needed and provided him with a companion. Of course, talking about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He set up man in the garden, a paradise. He gave him a rule as well. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Not you might surely die, you shall surely die. But man was tempted, and he gave in to that temptation. He broke the rule and committed a sin, thus separating himself from God and causing himself to die spiritually and eventually bringing himself physical death as well. Ever since man ate of that fruit, ever since sin entered the world, there's been sin in the world. There's been death in the world. It is because of that sin, or because of our sin, that we need forgiveness. Ever since sin entered this world, mankind has needed forgiveness from that sin. It is because of the sin that we commit that we need forgiveness of our sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 informs us that we all sin. And we know from Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. We sin and we bring ourselves in confrontation with death. If that were the end of the story, there'd be no hope for any of us. I'm going to turn to the 130th Psalm, if you'd like to observe that with me. Talking for a moment about the idea that there's no hope without God. Again, that's the 130th Psalm. I'm going to read verses 3 through 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. If he did not offer forgiveness, who could stand? Without God, we would all be facing the death that we have caused ourselves to confront because of our sin. We'd be facing the death without any hope, without God's forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we read a moment ago, we read, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." We all have sinned, and we all are in need of God's forgiveness. Without His forgiveness, we have no hope in facing the death that we have caused ourselves to have to deal with. So how do we access God's forgiveness? Our God is a forgiving God. We all need God's forgiveness. How do we access God's forgiveness? Now, we talked this morning in Leviticus chapter 1 about how we find forgiveness under the Old Testament law. They did so through sacrifices. In addition to what we looked at this morning, we know that from Leviticus chapter 4, verses 27 through 31, and also in chapter 5. They had purification through blood, through the blood of those sacrifices. We know from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Under the Old Testament, they offered sacrifice, and it was through the blood of those sacrifices that they found purification. Under the New Testament law, we have purification through blood as well. But as we looked at earlier in Hebrews chapter 10, it's no longer the blood of bulls and goats that we find forgiveness of sin, but the forgiveness of Jesus Christ through His blood, through the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption, we have it through His blood, through the riches of God's grace. That gives us insight to how valuable this aspect or this idea of forgiveness is. It's something that He offers us. It's something that is valuable and something that we need to care about. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, we're going to talk about this as well for a moment. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. It reads, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He nailed our sin to the cross, and He bore our sin so we wouldn't have to." So how do we appeal to that blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins? First, we have to have the conviction of sin. And like we talked about a moment ago in Acts chapter 2, specifically in verse 37, they ask, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They murdered the Son of God. They are confronted with this fact. They come to terms with it. They were cut to the heart. This is the idea of conviction. They knew that they had done something wrong, and they cared about it. They wanted to do something about it. Also in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34, in the account of the Philippian jailer, the jailer trembles before Paul and Silas and asks, "What must I do to be saved?" Because he knows that he needs to be saved. He finds himself in a lost state, and he wants to do something about it. Again, the idea of conviction. In both these accounts, the people involved knew that they had sin and wanted to do something about it. The first step is to have conviction of sins. We talked about how in Jeremiah chapter 31, God promised He would forgive us of our iniquity. We live under that new covenant. That's talking about our iniquity, my iniquity, your iniquity, all of our iniquity, because we sin. We have committed iniquity, and we need release from it. To have release from that sin, we have to know that we have sinned, but we have to care that we have sinned. We have to know the severity of what we have done. We talked this morning about the actions that the person committing the sacrifice had to fulfill. They had to bring the animal. They had to kill the animal. They had to see the blood. They had to hear the cries of the animals. Our sin is serious. We have to know that our sin is serious. We have to be convicted of our sin and want to do something about it. To be forgiven of our sin, we also have to be a part of the body of Christ. turning to, we remember from Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. I'm going to turn there for a moment. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We read explicitly that baptism is the means by which our sins are forgiven. Also, Acts 2:38, if you'll turn over with me if you desire to. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the verse after what we looked at a moment ago. The people find out they've killed the Son of God. They're convicted of their sin. They want to do something about it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, they find the answer. Peter says to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Again, the verse after what we looked at a moment ago tells us that after the people felt conviction and asked what they must do, Peter tells them that baptism is the means by which their sins could be forgiven. God has given us specific instructions on how we can find atonement, just like the Israelites that we talked about this morning. We have to follow those specific instructions. We have to follow God's instructions in the way that He instructed it if we want to find that atonement. Next, we read about the confession of sin. What about after baptism? Even after we're added to the body of Christ, we know that we are not perfect. Man still falls short. We still stumble and we still sin at times. Even though baptism forgives us of all our past sins, how can we be forgiven of the sins that we commit after baptism? We still appeal to that blood sacrifice of Christ. After baptism, we access it through prayer, though. If we turn away from our sin, as we can read about in John chapter 5, verses 10 and following, and confess it before God, as we've looked at in John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we read of confession. If we turn from our sin and confess it before God in prayer, we can find forgiveness. We see an example of this in Luke chapter 11 and verse 4. We also turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. We see examples of that prayer. Prayer is the means by which we ask for forgiveness today after we have been added to the church. We have to be convicted of our sin. We have to be added to the church. We have to go to God in prayer, confess our sins in order to find forgiveness of them today. We also read in Mark the 11th chapter that to some degree, the forgiveness that we find is dependent on the forgiveness that we offer to others. I'm going to turn to Mark the 11th chapter, verses 25 through 26. He writes about this. Again, it's 25 and 26 of the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." To some extent, our own forgiveness is dependent on our forgiveness of others. If we want God to find mercy and grace towards us, we have to show mercy and grace towards others. We have to be willing to forgive others. I'm also going to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 through 15 emphasizes this point as well. Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The same idea of what we just looked at. If we want to find forgiveness from God, we have to show forgiveness to others. We see all three points that we've mentioned so far. They can all be found in that verse in 1 John. If there's one passage that you turn to tonight and follow along with me, I want it to be this one. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All three aspects. We serve a forgiving God. See this in verse 9. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We all need God's forgiveness. See in verse 8. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." God, or how do we access that forgiveness? Beginning of verse 9. If we confess our sins. Everything that we've talked about this evening is outlined in these two verses. Our God is a forgiving God. We are all in need of God's forgiveness, and we've seen how we can access God's forgiveness. We serve a forgiving God. He has a nature of forgiveness, and he has promised us forgiveness if we're obedient to him. We need forgiveness because at one point in each of our lives, we became like Adam. We were perfect, and being sinless, we entered this world. We were living the blessing of a life that God had gifted to us, but we were drawn away by our own desires and enticed by sin, as we read about in James chapter 1 and verse 14. When that desire conceived, it brought forth sin, and that sin, when it was full grown, brought forth death. We faced that death. Without God's forgiveness, we all face death. We access God's forgiveness through conviction, baptism, and prayer, and as we saw, the forgiveness of others. If we regret what we have done and petition to God for forgiveness, he is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. We serve a loving, forgiving God, and we are in need of his forgiveness. We must do what he has commanded us to attain it. We should also be eternally grateful to him for that opportunity, because it's not something we deserve, but it's a gift that he offers us, an opportunity that he offers us. And as Christians, we all make mistakes. If it happens to be the case that you need forgiveness of something that you've done or you need encouragement, you'll have that opportunity in a moment. Like I said this morning, we all have the blessing and opportunity to seek the strength and encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It may be the case that one of you needs to take that opportunity. If so, you need to be on that front pew in a moment. Because it is by that you can find that strength and encouragement. It's not a thing of shame. It takes strength to do something like that. It takes strength to ask for help. It's why no one wants to do it, or why people often don't want to do it. But if you have that need, that's what your family in Christ is for. We know we all face temptations. We know we all come face to face with struggles, and we know at times we all fall short in that area. It could be the case that you need that type of encouragement this evening. It could be the case that you're not yet a member of the body of Christ. If you come to the realization that you are facing that death, that you've not been added to the body of Christ, you know that you've sinned, you know that you're facing death without God in your life, without being washed by the blood of Christ to find the opportunity of that forgiveness, and you're interested in doing that, we'd be more than happy to talk with you this evening. If you have that need or anything else, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.